heard phrases like this: Christmas is for the children. Christmas is for the families. Christmas is for giving. Christmas is for parties. Christmas is for a rest. Or Christmas, well, we need to remember the poor. Now, the title of my message this morning is Christmas is for... Well, it's not going to be very politically correct. It would not be acceptable today. In fact, it might offend some today. And some might call me a right old Scrooge who wants to put the dampeners on Christmas. But this is my title. And it is biblically correct. Christmas is for the sinful. How about that? Christmas is for the sinful. And I have a text. And it's found in our second reading, Matthew's Gospel, a well-known one. The angel speaking to Joseph when he says in verse 21, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And these are the particular words: for he shall save his people from their sins. Similar words to what the angel Gabriel said to Mary: you shall call his name Jesus. But when speaking to Joseph, he adds this bit: for he shall save his people from their sins. And Mary and Joseph believed the divine messenger. And we could put it like this: Mary and Joseph believed in the virgin birth. Many despise that today, but they knew it would be a virgin birth. He shall save his people from their sins. So Christmas is for the sinful. Now I've got some observations to make. Number one, these words in our text are the fulfillment of a glorious promise. There was a lady who had left sending her Christmas cards a bit late, so she rushed down to the shop and bought a box of 50 Christmas cards, identical Christmas cards. She very quickly wrote them, put a stamp on the envelope, put them in the post box, and she said, "Phew, I've just done it." Well, there was one card left. And she thought, well, I'd better look at what the greeting, the printed greeting is inside the card. And she looked at it. And to her horror, it said this: this card is just to say, a little gift is on its way. She'd committed herself to send it again. She couldn't keep that promise. When we come to the Bible, God made a promise to Adam and Eve. And there in the Garden of Eden, he promised that there would be a day when a virgin would have a son. This son would suffer in order to set men and women free from the devil and from their sins. And despite man's rebellion and despite man's disobedience to God's law, and despite Satan's activity, the Lord Jesus Christ, that first Christmas, fulfilled that promise in such a glorious way. He came at the right time, he came to the right place, and he fulfilled many, many of the promises in the Old Testament scriptures. And I can say, Christmas is for the sinful. Because all the promises of God contain this great truth, which says, "For he shall save his people from their sins." And no doubt, Adam and Eve and all the Old Testament saints look forward to Christmas. The second thing I want you to notice is this, that in this verse, there is a purpose. "For he shall save his people from their sins." Now imagine that you are having a nice swim in the warm waters around Australia. I understand it's quite warm there at this moment in time. And there you are swimming in the lovely warm waters of the ocean. And all of a sudden, you're surrounded by sharks. They're showing their teeth. They're hungry. I wonder what you'd say. Well, I think I'd say, "Help! Help!" And wouldn't it be wonderful if the helicopter swooped down and the winch man lowered himself and he grabbed you and he saved you and he lifted you to safety? Well, you'd be truly grateful. You would say, "I was saved." Now our text is speaking about something worse than being saved from sharks. It's talking about being saved from our sins. Do you realize how serious sin is? God sent his best, his only Son, the second person of the Trinity, down into this world to save his people from their sins. That is how serious sin is. For God to send his best to save his people from their sins. So sin must be serious. Let me tell you three things what the Bible says about sin. Number one, sin has conquered you. You're a loser. You're a loser. Sin has invaded your life. Sin has become your master. And we are all losers. The whole principle, I need to be a bit careful here, I suppose, of Santa Claus is this. If you are good, you will get. Do you know what the Bible says? There is none good. No, not one. And the only thing we will get is the punishment for our sins. Sin has conquered us. Now you may say, well, how? Do you realize Jesus Christ came to be identified with sinners in order that he might save sinners? When Adam sinned in the garden, you were identified with Adam. You may say, I wouldn't have done what Adam did, but you did. Because you're identified with Adam's sin. And you have inherited his very nature. That's why I said, you're on the losing side. The human race are losers. Adam lost everything. Think of that beautiful garden he was in. He lost it. Think of the presence of God he enjoyed. He lost it. He lost life itself, and death and suffering came into this world. Sin has conquered us. We are losers. But I've got good news. Christmas is for the sinful. But sin is not only conquered us, it's corrupted us. Man's chief end, the Bible says and teaches, is to glorify God. Do you know what man has done? We've made our own little kingdoms. We've become the king and the queen of our own little kingdom. And it's all about self. And it's all about what we want instead of what God wants. Sin has corrupted us. When I was in the glass business, we used to, if we cut pieces of glass for certain people, we used to put their names on it so they knew which bit of glass to take. So if Mr. Jones wanted a bit of glass, we'd get a crayon and we'd write it Mr. Jones. If Mr. Smith wanted a bit of glass, we'd put on it Mr. Smith. Now you must never ever use a crayon on a mirror. Because I'll tell you why. Take your mirror home, put it in your bathroom, you rub off your crayon. But when the bathroom steams up, your mirror steams up. And shall I tell you something? You can see Mr. Smith's name very clearly indeed, because it's left a wax on the mirror. And it shows clearly. You young people can try it out. Oh, don't try it out, perhaps I might get in trouble. But I'll tell you how you can get it off. But isn't it interesting? It leaves a mark. Do you know something? People can look respectable on the outside, but you're stained with sin on the inside. Shall I tell you what Jesus said about your heart? Now, he's the only one who could say this, because he knows the hearts of men and women. I can't say, I don't know what's in your heart, but this is what Jesus said. He said, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. Everyone's talking about climate change, aren't they? About the pollution of the air and the pollution of the seas. But the Bible says the greatest pollution is the pollution of your heart. And the government needs to wake up. There's lots of problems out there, but the biggest problem of all is the corruption of the human heart. But I've got good news. Christmas is for the sinful. For he shall save his people from their sins. So, sin has conquered our heart. Sin has corrupted our hearts. But hang on a moment. Sinners condemned our hearts. Sinners condemned our hearts. When I used to run my little business, generally, Christmas Eve was the big clear-up of the workshop. And, to be quite honest, it was filthy. And all day I was cleaning down machines and sorting out this and dusting down things and sweeping up. And at the end of the afternoon, I'd turn up at the on the doorstep. And I was covered in filth from top to toe. And Anne would look at me and said, you can't come in like that. And I had to clean myself down a bit outside. God's heaven is pure and holy. And God says to the sinner, you can't come in like that. God says, nothing that defileth or maketh a lie shall enter into heaven. You can't come in like that. And the Bible says we are condemned. We cannot enter into God's heaven. And so the Lord Jesus Christ taught there was an eternal hell. But I've got good news. Christmas is for the sinful. And we have these wonderful words of scripture, for he shall save his people from their sins. So we have a promise that is fulfilled, and we have a purpose of why Jesus Christ came. Now the third thing I want to say is this, and I want to talk, of course, about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Of course, the name Jesus means Saviour. In fact, we could go a bit further than that and say, God saves. Now, of course, that is wonderful. You would have noticed in verse 23, there's another name for the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it's the fulfillment of a prophecy from Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, that's a tremendous word. I once heard of a student. They were going to go to Cambridge University. And they were saying, well, I'm not going to a college which has a religious name. So I'm not going to Christ College. I'm not going to Jesus College. I'm not going to Trinity College. So someone said to him, so what college did you go to? Emmanuel College. He obviously just didn't understand the name Emmanuel. And do you know something? Do you understand the name Emmanuel? God with us. That baby that was in Mary's womb would not only be man, but he'd be God. God had taken upon himself the form of a man. Now, there's a tremendous verse in the Bible. Well, there's lots of tremendous verses in the Bible. But this one struck me. I might mention it again tonight, because it's such a wonderful verse. It's found in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. For in him, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Isn't that a tremendous verse? Can your little mind grasp that? Well, my little mind can't. And shall I tell you something else? If you put all the minds of the world together, they still won't understand that verse. You see, we need a divine book to tell us that wonderful truth, that in the Lord Jesus Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Lord Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. And there we see a wonderful, wonderful thing. That little speck that grew in the womb was truly God, yet truly man. It's incredible. That little child that played, that teenager, the man who walked the streets of Galilee, was truly God, yet truly man. And the one who hung on Calvary's cross was truly God and truly man. Now you may say, well, why did deity take on humanity? Well, that verse tells us, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now it doesn't say he will come and save his people in their sins. It doesn't say he will come and save his people so they might feel a bit better about their sins. It doesn't say, well, so people don't worry about their sins. It doesn't say that. Remember my little shark illustration? If you were saved from a shark, you would be eternally grateful. But Jesus Christ came to save you from something worse. He came to save you from your sins. Now, there's a horrible phrase today, and sometimes preachers use it. And they say, your sins have messed up your life. Well, that's true. But there's something more important. And it's this. You have sinned and offended a holy and just God who is infinite, who is eternal, the one who knows your very heart. You have offended him, the very creator of this world. And that is how serious sin is. Now your sin has conquered you. It's corrupted you. And your sin will condemn you in the sight of this God. So often we think lightly about sin simply because we've got a wrong view of God. You don't very often get preachers talking about his infinite person, his eternal person, his holiness. and his justice. But how can I be saved from my sins? Well, I need someone who is infinite. And I need someone who is eternal. And I need someone who is holy and pure and knows all about me. Remember, Christmas is for the sinful. Do you know, at Christmas time, people don't mind a little baby in a manger, do they? A little baby can't talk. No authority in a little baby. Now, we don't do that with other people, like Winston Churchill. Whenever you see Winston Churchill, he's always got a scar in his mouth. You know, prime of life. But Jesus Christ, in the prime of his life, came to do a wonderful, wonderful work on behalf of his people. And there at the cross, this infinite, eternal person who had humbled himself came and stood in for the sinful. In the Bible, it says this: without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It's pretty serious, isn't it? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. In the Old Testament, there was gallons and gallons and gallons of blood shed by animals. But all that blood cannot save you from your sin. I could give you my blood, but my blood cannot save you from your sin. We need one who is infinite and one who is eternal. And that's why at the centre of Christianity is the great atoning work of our Lord Jesus Christ, which many despise, but it's the most precious thing to know. That our Lord Jesus Christ, because of the value of his blood, shed it on Calvary's cross in order that he might save his people from their sins. This is the great truth of this great verse. For he shall save his people from their sins. And he has. And he does. And he will. That's how powerful the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is, that it shed on Calvary's cross. So we've thought about a promise, a purpose, a person. Finally, I want you to think about this question. Who are his people? It says, for he shall save his people from their sins. And of course, if you're not one of his people, you won't be saved from your sins. So you need to make sure you're one of his people in order to make sure that you are saved from your sins. Daniel Defoe was a Christian. He wrote a famous book. You may have read it. Robinson Crusoe. Can I just say, it's a story, fiction. But because Daniel Defoe was a Christian, in that book he put some wonderful Christian truths. You may remember that Robinson Crusoe was alone on an island. And one day, I think it's in chapter 6 actually, by the way, I cheated. I listened to it on audio. It was great. There he was, sitting alone. He felt miserable. And wouldn't you? All alone in the world. His mind began to work. And he remembered the day when he rejected the advice of his father. And he felt bad. He remembered the sins of his youth. And his conscience was plaguing him because of all the sins he had committed. But then all of a sudden he looked out on the horizon of the sea.
And he thought,
there must be a God. A God who's created this world. There must be a God who upholds this world. And there must be a life after this life. There must be a heaven. And surely, there must be a hell. And then his mind worked on and he thought, why was I the only one saved from that wreck of that ship? All the other sailors perished, but here I am alive. Is there a God who's not only a creator, but a God who is a God of providence? Later in that day, he was searching through some of the things he'd retrieved from the ship, and he found the ship's Bible. And he began to read it. And these words popped out, as it were. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. It was as though God was speaking to him. And he called unto God. Now, he wasn't delivered from the island, but from that moment he began to be a praying man and a Bible reading man. And his life was changed. It was but a story. But Daniel Defoe was telling what has happened to thousands of men and women in this world. There has been a day when they have felt their sins. They have been burdened by their sins. Yet God has spoken to them through his word, and they've called upon the name of the Lord, and they have been saved. I was speaking to a man the other day. His name was Steve. He got interested in reading the Bible. And he started reading the Bible. In fact, he knew quite a bit about the Bible. He knew some of the teachings of the Bible. He was quite knowledgeable about the Bible. And I said to him, Steve, Stephen, have you ever called upon the name of the Lord to be saved? Have you ever prayed and asked God to forgive you and to cleanse you? And to make one of his people. Steve didn't seem to know what I was talking about. And there's a big lesson there. I trust he will trust the Lord Jesus Christ. But I might be speaking to someone this morning. You know a bit about the Bible. You know about what Christians believe. You love singing the hymns. And you don't mind reading the Bible. You don't mind listening to sermons. But you have never, ever called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. To know certain that your sins are forgiven. Perhaps you've never thought about sin seriously. Perhaps you've never thought about why Jesus Christ came in a serious way. Well, this morning I've confronted you with this great verse. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, and thou shalt, or he shall save his people from their sins. Christmas is for the sinful. Let's pray. Our gracious God, as we have meditated upon these things, once again we realise that we have sinned against a holy and a just God. Once again we realise your greatness and your power, how infinite you are and how eternal you are. And yet, our gracious God, so often we've hid our sins, we've avoided being confronted with them. And oh, our gracious God, we do pray that you would give us grace to own up to them, and indeed make us flee to the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon him that we might be saved from our sins, we pray. Please have mercy upon us. Give us grace, we pray, to pray that prayer of repentance, to trust the Saviour for our salvation, we ask, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to turn to our final hymn. 212, let earth and heaven combine, angels and men agree, to praise in songs divine the incarnate deity. 212. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet abiding fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with us now and until he comes. Amen.